that Dan read were from a sermon that the Apostle Peter had preached after he had healed this man sitting at the gate of the temple. And everybody came together and said, "How does this happen? How did you guys do this?" And so the Apostle Peter explains it by saying, "It wasn't us, it's the power of the risen Lord Jesus Christ." And then he continues to explain to them what it means for them from verse 17. So before we just look at that passage together, let's pray, shall we?
Thank you, Lord,
that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. May it be so to us today, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We all like to be blessed, don't we? People like to be blessed. Sometimes we'll pray for others. We'll say, "Lord, bless them." And it's always interesting to think to ourselves, what do I mean when I say that, "Lord, bless them"? Certainly a good prayer to pray, isn't it? But what does it mean when God actually blesses someone? Sometimes we say something like, "Oh, you know, we're so blessed, aren't we?" We say we live in a country where there's lots of food. We have nice houses, and most people get to live in a house. And we've got cars we can drive around in, and they're pretty cheap. Get a car. And we say, well, we're blessed because we've got those things. But I want you to just ask yourself the question, is that really what it means to be blessed? Do you think that's really what it means to be blessed? Cars, food, clothes, and other stuff. Actually, you know, I don't think Jesus would describe those things as blessings. Certainly, we should be very thankful, eh? We should say, "Thank you, Lord, for my car. Thank you that, you know, we've got a roof over our head when that rain is just pouring down. Thank you, you know, that for food." But would he describe those as blessings? You know, we read before from Gospel according to Matthew chapter 5, and there Jesus spoke of blessings, and he blessed his listeners, didn't he? He blessed his disciples who were there, and he said, "You're blessed or blessed because you're poor in spirit, okay? Because you're mourning over your sin, because you're meek or humble, you're blessed." He says you're blessed because you are hungry for righteousness. You're blessed because you're merciful. You're blessed because you're pure in heart. You're blessed because you're peacemakers, because you are, what was the next P? Persecuted and reviled. Kind of hard to get our heads around that, isn't it? And it makes you wonder. Well, in this passage here that we read from verses 17, the Apostle Peter talks about the blessings that Jesus brings. Blessings that Jesus. And I want to just share the four of the blessings that I see in that passage that the Apostle Peter speaks about. Here he is. This is soon after the day of Pentecost. They've been going up to the temple. They see this guy who's been sitting there. It says he's been never walked, been crippled from his birth. He's been begging at the gate, beautiful, of the temple. And Peter and John come past. They say, "Look, we don't have any money, but what we do have, we give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And this guy, just amazingly, miraculously, they lift him up and he walks. He not only walks, he runs and jumps and dances and praises the Lord. And everybody comes together and said, "Man, what's going on here? This is amazing. How did you guys do this?" And Peter and John, they say, "Look, this wasn't us. You need to know this. This wasn't us. This is the power of the risen Jesus. You know Jesus that you crucified? This Jesus who was crucified, he's been raised again." And it's kind of interesting, actually, isn't it, that after Pentecost, what do these disciples go around doing? Somebody's pointed out that what are the first things they do after Pentecost? They preach, don't they? They preach sermons. And what do they preach about? They preach about Jesus. And this is what the Apostle Peter is doing here. And so he's still preaching. He's still preaching about Jesus. And the people who are listening to him are mainly Jews. And we could sort of say today, well, I'm not a Jew, you know, I'm a Gentile. If you are a Gentile, you might be Jewish, I don't know. But you might say, well, I'm a Gentile, that doesn't apply to me. But notice how when he talks about these blessings, he says, you know, actually these blessings are for everyone. He says in verse 25, he says, you are heirs of the prophets and the covenant that God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed. All peoples. And so what he's saying is that the blessings that Jesus brings are for all peoples, not just for the Jewish people, okay, not just for Aussies or Americans or whatever, but they're for all people on earth, the blessings that God brings, the blessings that God gives. And if you go and read in Galatians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul explains that a bit more and how that works. So what are the blessings? I just want to share four of these with you today. The first one is this, the blessing of sins wiped away. The blessing of sins wiped away. In verse 19, he says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. And then in verse 26, he says, when God raised up a servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. And so the first blessing that Jesus brings to every one of us, and that is available for each person here today, is the blessing of sins wiped away. And of course, how does that happen? Well, it happens through, as Peter says here, repentance or turning away from our sins and turning back to God. I always, when I think of repentance, I have a funny story, and I've probably told you it, but forgive me. I was sitting in a room with a guy. So there was here's a story. There was an American, an Egyptian, and a Kiwi, and they're all sitting in a room. All right, and I was one of them. Okay. And the Kiwi and the American were telling the Egyptian about Jesus, all right? And the American says in his American accent, which I won't try and mimic, but because I'm really bad at doing accents, you know, he says, what do you got to do? What have you got to do now? And the Egyptian guy goes, oh, I don't know. And he goes, you've got to repent. And the Egyptian goes, oh, okay, I've got to repent. And he goes, yeah, you've got to repent. And I said, do you know what it means to repent? And he goes, yeah, it's kind of like you get a brush and you do the walls of your room, you know, this wall and that wall, and you repaint it. Yeah, that's a good story. It really happened, though. It actually happened. I always think about that, because kind of that's what repentance is, isn't it? It's like renovation. It's something you need to do. You need to change from the inside out, you know, because he was sitting in his bedroom and looking, he was in a flat and he was looking at his walls and he was going to repaint them. These crazy American and Kiwi guys telling him to repaint his room. So, so repentance, that comes, that is how God works, that wiping out of sin. And the question that you've got to ask ourselves is when Peter says Jesus wants to bless you by turning you from your wicked ways, he wants to bless you by bringing you to repentance. The question you've got to ask yourself, and maybe you're asking yourself right now, is like, is that a blessing? Do I really need that? You know, is that something that's, is that good? You know? Is that something that I should be happy to hear about? You may not think it's a blessing, because you might go, Jeff, hey, I'm fine. You know, I don't need to repent. What have I done? I haven't robbed any banks lately or smashed any grannies over. I don't need to repent. And you maybe you think, oh, I've been a really good person, you know. I used to be bad and, man, my life's on track now. Or I've never done anything wrong. I've always listened to my mum and dad and I've always tidied my room and I've always kept the music down, you know. And I've never smoked and I've never spat and I've never swore. So, you know, I don't need to repent because I'm not a sinner. And so if you don't see that your life contains any sin, you won't want to know about this blessing because it won't sound like a blessing to you. But if you're someone like me, and you look into your heart and you go, yeah, I'm a sinner. I sin against the Lord in thought, word, and deed every day. And I know that, you know, in my heart, there is so much unrighteousness and so much that is wicked. Don't you love that word, wicked? When I was a kid, we used to say, oh, that's wicked. You know, something's wicked. I don't know if you say that now anymore. But, you know, it was kind of a slang. But wicked is like bad, right? Okay? Wicked is sinful. Wicked is against God. And if you look at yourself and go, man, I'm frail, I'm faulty, you know, like a broken down cake mixer, works some of the time, other times doesn't work. I'm fallen, I'm frail, I'm faulty, I'm fickle. Then that's a blessing for you, isn't it? What a wonderful blessing. Because God comes and he turns you around and turns you from your wicked ways and one day you're walking in this direction and then you turn and God is over here and you go back to God. That's what repentance truly is, isn't it? It involves sorrow for your sin, involves a change of mind, but it's also a change of direction. It's not just a change of heart, but it's a change that puts Jesus in charge of your life. It's a change that enthrones Jesus in your heart. But the second blessing is related to that. It's the blessing of the prophet Moses. And you're probably scratching your head at this point, but let me just read the words. If I can find them. Oh, here we go. It says, he must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised. Talking about Jesus here, long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who doesn't listen to him will be completely cut off from among his people. Indeed, all the prophets from Samuel on, as many as have spoken, have foretold of these days. And you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers. So he talks about Moses and he talks about prophets and you're thinking, you know, what has that got to do? I thought Jesus came to kind of say, hey guys, you know Moses was the guy who wrote the Ten Commandments and all that, and all the thou shalt nots, you know, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie. And those are all the laws, and we go, man, those, you know, that's hard, that was Moses. And we go, but Jesus, you know, Jesus was the nice guy, wasn't he? Jesus came along and said, you don't need to listen to Moses. You know, Moses, he's just a big meanie. You know, he just made all those laws, all those rules, all that stuff you couldn't keep. He put the guilt on you. Nobody likes feeling guilty, you know, like Mr. Potato Head. Nobody likes to feel guilt. You've got to watch Toy Story, sorry to get that one. But, you know, Jesus, he comes and says, God just wants to love you. And that's why I read Matthew chapter 5, hey? Because Matthew chapter 5, Jesus, what did he say? He says, hey guys, don't think that I came to abolish the law. No. I came to fulfill the law. And you know what he does? He takes Moses' law, okay? You shall not murder. And you go, that's right, yep, never murdered anybody in my life. Okay, I'm all right. I passed that one. Jesus says, but do you hate anybody? Do you really hate somebody right now? Because he says, if you hate somebody, that is murder. And he says, don't commit adultery. I've been faithful in marriage, always been faithful. Jesus says, not so fast, not so fast. You ever looked at anybody and gone, pretty hot, like a bit of that? Jesus says, that's adultery. Because it's starting in the heart, that's lusting. And so Jesus, he takes Moses' law and he just brings it right down and goes, you have to be perfect. Your righteousness has to be surpassed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. And Peter mentions him here and says, the Moses and the prophets, you know, going to raise up a prophet like Moses. Talking about Jesus. God will raise up a prophet for you, like me, from among your own people. You must listen to everything he says. You see, the Pharisees in Jesus' day, they were the ones who went around and said, hey, we're keeping all God's laws. And in fact, you know what we've done? We've made extra laws to make sure we keep God's laws. And Jesus says, you know, they've taken away the full effect of God's laws because they make people think they can keep God's laws. You know, sometimes we do that ourselves, don't we? We go, well, I'm never gonna lust at something, so I'm not gonna watch maybe certain programs on TV or buy certain magazines. And if I don't do that, it's never gonna happen to me. I'm not gonna be guilty of that sin. And again, we forget what? Where does it start from? It starts in the heart. And so they added traditions of men. And that's why they were at conflict with Jesus. And so Moses taught that we must keep God's law. Jesus came and said we must do it perfectly. Which is wonderful to know, isn't it? Because we just remind ourselves, don't we? None of us keep God's law perfectly. Jesus, as he takes the law of Moses and applies it as the new prophet, it just reminds us you can't keep God's law, and that is a blessing, okay? It's kind of like going to see a doctor who tells you the truth as opposed to a witch doctor. You know, the Pharisees, they were kind of like the witch doctors, and they said, ooh, you know, we can do these special things, the special deal, and you might be able to keep God's law. Jesus said, you've got to be perfect. And you think you're keeping God's law? You're not. You're breaking it. And that's a blessing. Why? Why, you say to me, Jeff, how on earth can knowing that you're breaking God's law be a blessing? It's a blessing because it drives you to the one place, doesn't it? Where you know there is freedom. It drives you back to the Lord Jesus Christ. And because you know that only through the Lord Jesus Christ can you in any way please God. Can you in any way connect with God? Can you in any way have a relationship with God? The blessing of the prophet Moses makes us see our sin, gives us the truth about ourselves, just like a good doctor, tells us our sin problem, tells us our disease, tells us the cure, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Third blessing is the blessing of refreshing. Because the issue is this. Okay, Jeff, you've told us we need to repent. You've told us that the law forces us to repent and show us that we need the Lord Jesus Christ. How does that get inside of me? How do I get that? And so, you know, Peter, notice he talks about the work of the Spirit. He says in verse, repent, therefore turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that the times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. What he's reminding him there is that this is an inner work of the Spirit, isn't it? Repentance, turning, seeing your sin, that's an inner work of the Holy Spirit. If the Spirit doesn't do that, then it just doesn't happen. We just stay hard, don't we? We stay proud. We stay sort of just unaware and kind of oblivious. And we don't know how serious it is with ourselves, how bad things are. And so the Holy Spirit comes and does this inner work, this refreshing work in our hearts, changing us from the inside out. And it's something that must happen to everyone if you're a Christian. If you're a Christian today, It's because the Holy Spirit has done a work of refreshing in you. Why is this important? Well, it's important because of this. Maybe right now you're trying to be a Christian. Maybe you're saying, yeah, Christianity, I want to try that. I want to try and be a Christian because I know some Christians, they're pretty good people, and if I can be a Christian, then, you know, that will help me in my life. But I would imagine you're finding it very hard right now because you're trying to do a whole bunch of stuff that just doesn't come to us naturally. I know it doesn't come to me naturally, and I'd imagine it doesn't come to any of you naturally, trying to live God's way. Or maybe you know and love people, maybe they're family members, maybe they're neighbors, friends, people that you've told them about Jesus, and you can't even remember how many times that you have told them about how wonderful the Lord Jesus is. You've talked to them until you're blue in the face about your Lord Jesus Christ, and they kind of just nod their head and just carry on living life the way they've always lived it. Their backs turned to Jesus. And so this is an encouragement. This reminds you and encourages you that it is a work of the Spirit and you hand it over to God. Lord, send your refreshing Spirit to bring them to repentance, please. Bring them to repentance. Send your refreshing Spirit and you can die happy. Who's talking about dying? Well, that's the last part, isn't it? The last blessing. The blessing of Jesus' return. You might say, Jeff, I'm not ready to die. Why are you talking about that? I'm not suggesting that for you today. But you know, we know it comes to us, doesn't it? Don't we? And we all want to know what the future holds. We want to know what happens next. That's something that is natural for us as human beings. And so the final blessing is this, is that God has appointed the future, the blessing of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. As it says here in verse 20, so turn, and he will send you Christ, whom he has appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his prophets. Jesus came to earth, died on the cross, rose again, ascended to glory to the Father's right hand, but that's not the end, is it? He will one day return. Jesus will one day return and restore everything as the Messiah whom God has appointed. And that's a great blessing. It's a blessing, isn't it? None of us know what the future holds. You know, I love watching movies about, I think there was one on TV last night, I didn't watch it, I was checking on the rugby score, but I think it was something like, I can't remember, something about the earth, the day the earth stood still, was it? I don't know, was that on TV last night? Basically, I think the earth just froze up into a big ice ball. And that sounds pretty bleak, doesn't it? It's like, it's cold enough as it is, don't want a big ice ball. And that's kind of how the earth ends. That's like, this is what's going to happen, guys. Just going to freeze up into a big ice ball and all the heaters will run out and all the hot Milo will be gone and that's it, you know. Or, you know, meteorites are going to come smashing into the earth. Remember the dinosaurs? No, that was too long ago. Or, you know, aliens are going to come and invade. You remember, you know, it's going to be Independence Day. Wasn't it Independence Day? Did they invade? I don't know. But, you know, aliens are going to invade. That's how it's all going to end. Or whatever. You know, global warming, sea levels just going to rise and rise and rise till we live in water world. But, you know, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says, that actually, guys, that's not the end. Some of that stuff may happen. Don't know about the aliens. But he says he knows this. Jesus will one day return to complete the work that he has begun. He hasn't finished. Jesus hasn't finished. You think, oh, I'm saved. You know, I know that when I'm dying, I'm going to go to heaven. That's enough, isn't it? And the Bible says, no, that's not it. Jesus will one day return. The blessing of knowing this. There's no guessing or worrying about what's going to happen, how it's all going to end. The end is this: when Jesus comes for his own, that's the end for you and I. And that's a wonderful blessing to know that. So Jesus today, he comes to bring blessings to us. Real blessings, okay? Not a car, not a house, not ice cream, not any of those things. Not even a cool new toy. Jesus comes to bring blessings to you and I today. He wants you to see your sin. That's a blessing. He wants you to see your sin. He wants you to turn from your sin and go to him. He wants you to repent. He wants you to see yourself as you really are in the law of Moses even, so that you turn back to him. And he's not going to leave you to yourself. He's promised the blessing of his Spirit that will help you, that will make it possible for you to turn and go to him. And he blesses you that he's got with the knowledge and with the word that he's got the whole deal signed up from beginning to end. He's got it all sorted out. You don't need to worry. You don't need to try and figure it out. You don't need to know, you know, when is it going to be? Apparently it was supposed to be the end of the world yesterday, I think. Or today. Is it today? I think it's supposed to be today. So I read somewhere in an article in the paper, somehow, someplace. I don't know. So you don't need to worry about all that. You don't need to stress. You don't need to fret. Jesus has got it all sewn up, beginning to end. And the end only happens when Jesus happens. Amen. Open your arms to receive the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you wanna talk to me about that afterwards, I'm more than happy. Or if you know someone else here who's a Christian, you want to talk to them about that, please do so. And I'd love to pray for you. Let's pray now. Lord, you are so kind and gracious, and you bless us through the Lord Jesus Christ. You bless us with seeing our sin and the ability to repent. You bless us, Lord God, with showing us how we fall short of your law. You have blessed us with your Spirit that helps us to turn from our sin and run to you. And you've blessed us with knowing that you're in control and that one day you will return and everything will be sorted out. Thank you, Lord God, for your wonderful blessings to us. Help us to receive your blessing with the eyes of faith, with open hands, and with a heart that believes, as we ask in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.